The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships, BillCurryFord.com. Just a quick note before we get started. Will Gulston is returning for his 11th season as a defensive tackle for the Buccaneers. What a great story. What a great guy. Will Gulston has signed per Fox Sports. He'll be back starting with training camp this week. Bucks fans, Ira Kaufman is back. The sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself. He even has his own discount at Bill Curry Ford, the Ira Kaufman discount. He's the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is back. Fun times to be had, and you can get a $500 gift card with a custom order of a vehicle. No deposit at Bill Curry Ford. It's so easy. They've got a concierge assistance service for you, walk you through everything. Priority over retail stock, 10-year roadside assistance, nationwide lifetime warranty on all new vehicles. It's so easy. BillCurryFord.com. Shop there now. GM Sean Sullivan, our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, and he's all jacked up. He loves his prices at Bill Curry Ford. He's meeting or beating everybody's price from every Ford dealership around. And if he can't, for some reason, which he can, but if he can't, he's going to give you $500 cash. BillCurryFord.com. And we love our friends at Big Storm Brewery. Sage, I went last year. You didn't go. Lee didn't go. I was there last year at their 10th anniversary party in Clearwater at the beautiful outdoor patio, all day, all night, live bands, great fun, specials, buy one, get one free on all packaged beers and other things. Well, the Big Storm Brewery Tap Room in Clearwater had so much fun, Ira. They are doing an 11th anniversary party. They're going to do it all over again. And that's Saturday. No training camp that day. Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. Follow them on social media. You'll get the lineup and all the great specials. We're going to be talking more about it on JoeBucksFan.com. There's also a Big Storm Brewery tap room in Centro Ybor upstairs. Follow them on social media and you'll see their live music schedule. Big Storm Odessa, Cape Coral, and in Orlando at the Amway Center. BigStormBrewery.com to see all the great beers and the spirits as well. Big Storm is local. They're fantastic. And we're looking forward to that party. And of course, our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration are standing by 24/7. You find mold, flood damage, water is pouring into your house from somewhere, all kinds of issues in your garage, storm damage, whatever you got going that's a problem in your house, call them first before you call your insurance company. Simply stated so you don't get ripped off. It's a horrible business, the insurance business, and you need someone in your corner who knows what they're doing. That's Florida's ElitRestoration.com. We'll get into more of that later, Sage. How are you, Ira? I know you're all jacked up. You've been talking to people, getting ready for a Hall of Fame and mostly the partying out there. Training camp is up next, and I know you were even chatting with Todd Bowles. I can't reveal these things, but you're all over the place, Ira. The season didn't even start yet.
Well, I can't wait to get to Canton, Steve. It's going to be a fantastic weekend. I'm rolling in towards the end of the week because I want to be there for the Gold Jacket dinner, which is Friday night. I've been to a few of them, not recently, but I have been to a few of them. It's very exclusive, and the hall is paying for a table for the voters, and it's coming out of the hall's pocketbooks. And they wanted to make sure that if you said you were going to go to the Gold Jacket dinner, that you attended. You don't cancel because they got to put up money. So that's a nice gesture from the Hall of Fame people towards the voters. Shows how much they appreciate the people that do this process. So I will be among the crowd. I think there's 4,000 people in the hall that night when Rondé Barber gets to put on that gold jacket, Lee, and he runs the gauntlet of fellow Hall of Famers. And at the very end of that line, you can bet will be Messrs. Sapp, Brooks, and Lynch just waiting for Barber exchange pleasantries.
Wait a minute. So there's 4,000 people at a dinner? Is this what you're telling us? This can't be a buffet then, I'm guessing.
No, it's not a buffet. It is not a buffet. yeah, it's table to table. They bring the food. I asked for a beet salad. We still see if they comply, but it's a hell of a night. And then, of course, Saturday, you know, the festivities start at 12, not at 6 o'clock like normal. Yes, Lee, Chris Berman is back as the MC. Chris Berman. news this week. There's going to be 9 speeches. Zach Thomas will kick it off at number 1, and Rondé Barber will go next to last. Joe Thomas will be 9 and last. Rondé Barber will be number 8. They keep trying to cut these speeches down, Lee, to 7 minutes, 6 minutes. I expect Rondé Barber to talk for at least 10 minutes. And I'll be out there, and before the speech, I'll be glad-handed and schmoozing, because the Buck contingently, they're going to be out in force. Absolutely out in force. Current Bucks, former Bucks, you know, everybody in my wheelhouse from the O2 team, they're going to be out there. So I'm really looking forward to it.
You have your orders. I don't care what's going on there, Ira. Stick that damn tape recorder in your pocket and get us some juice on this 2023 team. We know you're going to do it, but I have to at least make it public there. You know Bruce Arians is going to be drinking all kinds of cocktails, saying all kinds of things, and we need to know what the hell he's talking about. I'm assuming Jason Light will be up there as well, a good friend of Rondé Barber and a guy he's actually consulted with on drafts in the past. And so the Bucks probably have one plane flying in and out, and lots for you to get up there. You should have a great time. You deserved it. Hey, Sage, this kind of blew me away because of the language that was chosen. So I got to run it past you. It's almost funny, but it is candid, and it's, you know, it's just honest, and it is just eye-opening, though, just the way it was presented. I found Dave Canales on a podcast, a very obscure podcast, called Two Bees in a Pod, and it just so happens one of the co-hosts of this podcast, one of the co-hosts in California, it was a college teammate of Canales. So that's the connection. So they brought him on, and he talked for a long time.
When was the podcast? When?
It appeared to be recorded in early June. It wasn't clear. The podcast itself came out about 10 days ago, but it was obvious that it was recorded a while back. So I'm listening to Canales here, and they're very relaxed, and they're talking. And one of the hosts says to him, hey, you know, they call him DC. I guess that's what everybody from college called him, DC. I know you like to use initials sometimes, Ira, so now you can call him DC. He'll look at you. They asked him, they said, hey, you know, you've always been the kind of guy in your football coaching career who gets thrown into roles and jobs that you don't have any experience in, and you kind of figure it out without ever playing the position. You know, you were a quarterback's coach and tight ends coach, and, you know, next thing you know, you're coaching high school ball. Next thing you know, you're coaching with the Seahawks 2 years later and all that. And he says, here I am again, right? Doing something that I don't have a clue how to do other than watching a bunch of guys that have done it really well. With each position I went into to learn, I went in with the understanding that somebody knows it better. A coach knows it better. A veteran tight end, Greg Olsen. He was referring to the Seahawks in 2020 when Olsen showed up there for a year. Knows it far better than I could have ever known it. Just gravitating to those people who know what they're doing. Ira, just that quote again. Here I am again, right? Doing something that I don't have a clue how to do other than watching a bunch of guys that have done it really well. Your reaction, guys?
I got two reactions. And Lee's going to love this one. First of all, I find it a little bit refreshing in one respect. He's not afraid to say what he doesn't know. Lee, after 3 years of what we had as his predecessor, somebody who thought he knew everything, that's kind of refreshing. The second aspect is not as gratifying. Show a little confidence. You're making it sound like, he's a kindergartner being asked to go to sixth grade. This guy was on Carroll's staff for 10 years, Lee. He's been around, all these meetings. He's been around everybody. So he's absorbed a lot of things from a lot of different coaches. And I thought he'd have a little bit more confidence, Lee, but I think that's him trying to curtail his ego, which I like in some respect. But I hope it's not true that he doesn't have a clue about what he's about to do. I hope that's not true.
No, if Bowles thought that, he would never have hired him.
Yeah.
I got faith in Canales too, but, you know, the Bucks do have a history of hiring. You know, there was Jeff Jagosinski who didn't know how to call a play. And, you know, coaches do weird things sometimes, but the language was really funny, Ira.
It was. You know, Lee, we would have never got a line like that out of his predecessor. Not a chance. And the fact is, he's never called a play late. He never has. So we shall see. Now, speaking of that, Lee, speaking of calling a play and putting points on the board, Lee, you had a very interesting thing from your man Warren Sharp the other day. I paid special attention to it. Lee, this was the breakdown that showed the Bucks scored a lot of points in the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter. Lee, the first thing that jumps out at me is they're losing. That's a big reason they're scoring a lot of points. The other team's defense is relaxing a little bit, and the Bucks are taking their shots that they don't take through the first three quarters. But, Lee, when I saw that note, instead of saying, gee, excellent offense in the fourth quarter, the first thing that struck me was, what the hell were they doing for the first three quarters? Nothing. Nothing.
The one that jumped out at me was the third quarter, they were the 30th scoring offense in the league. And you got Brady, Godwin, Evans, playoff Lenny. You're 30th in the third quarter. I know halftime adjustments are completely and totally overblown because you make adjustments on play to play. Worse, you're making adjustments after a drive. You don't right. wait to halftime to do adjustments. You do that, to quote Bruce Arians, you're going to get your ass kicked. So halftime adjustments, they do more adjusting of their jock straps than they do adjusting plays. What the hell were they doing in the third quarter? That told me that they didn't make any adjustments in the third quarter. You know, like teams would adjust, and the Bucks apparently weren't. Or if they were, they weren't adjusting properly. That's the first thing that jumped out at me. Second thing that jumped out at me was it's almost like someone had the offense lassoed and they only turned the offense loose when they absolutely positively had to.
Yep. I agree with that, Lee. I agree with that.
Now, a thing that I found more disturbing was, this is an easy shot at Byron Leftwich, but I think it's deeper than Leftwich. The Bucks in 2021, Arians last year, they scored 62 touchdowns. The next year...
That's a lot of touchdowns.
A lot of touchdowns. Now, the next year, 2022, was the first year that Leftwich had total control of the offense. They scored 32 touchdowns on offense. That's a drop of 21. That's the, or excuse me, 31. That's the biggest drop off from one year to the next in 13 years. That's how bad that is. And the other thing, the thing that really alarms me, the biggest thing is the Bucks last year, we all know Tom Brady thrived on play action. The Bucks called play action 15% of their plays, dead last in the NFL. And I think that's deeper than Leftwich. Where was Todd Bowles? He's supposed to be the head coach, not just defensive coordinator. He's supposed to be the head coach. Where was Bowles to grab Leftwich and say, hey, idiot, Brady thrives on the play action. Would you call some more play action, or I'll find someone that could do it?
Steve, to Lee's point, it's very hard to overstate how inept the Buck offense was. Absolutely horrible. Lee talked about the third quarter. Lee, I guarantee the first and second quarters weren't a lot better than the third. They weren't.
They were in the 20s. How could you be that putrid with the talent you had in a third quarter? You know, you figure you're getting a little bit of rest at halftime, you know, getting a second wind? Apparently not.
And Steve, the first game was outstanding. The opener against Dallas, you know, the Cowboys have a good defense. And, you know, the Bucs ran the ball very well, had a nice balanced offense, Steve. And, boy, it was all downhill from there. That thing lasted 1 week. 1 week.
Well, could you argue that the offense wasn't half bad against the Saints the very next week?
I thought it was okay.
Hey, I feel like we're in mid-season form here because I got to reject all these premises all over the place. I'm choking myself here.
Okay. How can you reject the data, Steve? How can you reject it?
I'll tell you, because you're sitting here telling me the Bucks scored more in the fourth quarter because they were trailing. I'm not sure that would necessarily hold true, Ira. If you looked up every game, you mentioned the Dallas game. They didn't that opening day. They didn't even score in the fourth quarter. Granted, they were leading, but if you go game by game, I'm not sure that was the case. As far as Sharp's data, I'd like to see numbers in general of fourth quarter versus third quarter around the league. I'd venture to say because of the way fourth quarters are played, more points are scored in the fourth quarter in general. when teams give up on the run game and whatever they are. I'm not sure I buy into all of this, and I certainly, I can't, at least said Byron Leftwich had total control of the offense. I'd be shocked if Tom Brady didn't have 42% control of that offense, and he deserves a lot of blame for not stepping up, being Tom Brady, 45 years old, and, you know, acting like Peyton Manning probably would have and said, we're doing it this way. I don't care. He deserves to be smacked around for that. He doesn't want to be. But I don't know, Ira. I'd have to really see the numbers. There's no excuse to be 30th in the league in the third quarter in scoring. But I think a lot of that goes to that they continue to try to run the ball. You know, classic third quarter Bucks opening drive, right? They get the ball. All right, we got to establish the running game, which we know doesn't work. And then you burn a couple of drives that way. And maybe it helps set you up your passing game a little later. But I don't know. I'd have to see the numbers. I'm very twitchy you know, in the premise here that they were trailing and all this stuff. I'm not really sure about that.
You brought up something that's making my brain, the cogs starting to move. I'm going to ask you something that's kind of sacrilegious. Now, we know Ira's still fully triggered about him, you know, going to the Bahamas for a week in training camp. Ira still tosses and turns at night about that. And then we know he was trying to get to the Dolphins. That's been documented. But you're saying, Steve, is, you know, where's Brady in all this? Why didn't he, you know, put his foot down and we're doing this like Peyton Manning would? You think there's a possibility Brady was just going through the motions? His heart wasn't in it?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say that, but I think this was his first time ever with probably the most influence he ever had on an offense was 2022. I think that's fair considering what went on in New England and Bill Belichick being a heavy-handed coach and Bruce Arians as an overlord of this team. It's the first time Brady had a chance to fully flex his muscles as a guy, you know, to have, you know, even more influence, and he failed at it. Whether he was checked out or couldn't hack it or just wasn't very good at it or got together with Leftwich and they were in the same mentality and just didn't know what to do. I don't know, but I don't think anybody's going to hire Tom Brady as their offensive coordinator anytime soon.
I don't think Lee's theory is far-fetched at all. I think there's a lot of truth to it. As somebody told me in the middle of the season, other than the 60 minutes when he's on the football field, Brady's life's a total mess. It's a total mess right now. And that was in the middle of the season. And that was true. Yeah, he was distracted. Look, he's only human. I mean, he is the GOAT, but he's human. And I didn't think he was fully committed. I think there were plenty of examples of it, Lee, during the entire year, even before the season started. And it finally got to him. All his personal stuff got to him. He's a guy that never gets distracted. Well, he was distracted, Lee. He didn't play terrible. He was okay, but he wasn't Tom Brady for whatever reason. By the way, one more thing, Lee, on this scoring by quarters. By the way, Steve, I'm not disagreeing with you about who might be guilty, but the numbers are the numbers. Lee, the Bucks, how about playing with a lead once in a while in the first half? What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that, and they weren't doing it last year, and if they were, it wasn't for long.
Yeah, they just weren't good enough, Ira. You know, we don't have to dissect it, but it is fun, and some of these stats from Warren Sharp are fantastic. I just pulled up a random game, Sage. The Cardinals game was in my head as not much happened in the third quarter. And sure enough, 0-0. Neither team scored in the third quarter. Of course, the Bucks got the ball after a punt. And I'm reading here, Rashad White up the middle. First play, Tom Brady, short right to Chris Godwin. And then it's short on third down. And it's incomplete, and they punt. And then the Bucks come out for another drive in the third quarter. Leonard Fournette, right end. Leonard Fournette, left end. Leonard Fournette up the middle. Leonard Fournette, left end for 3 yards. Four consecutive runs. Fast forward to the fourth quarter. Their first drive, I will just read off in succession. First drive for the Bucks in the fourth quarter. Tom Brady, pass complete, short left to Leonard Fournette. Tom Brady, pass complete, short right to Leonard Fournette. Tom Brady, pass complete, short left to Chris Godwin. Tom Brady, pass complete, short left to Leonard Fournette. Tom Brady, pass complete, short middle to Kate Otten. Tom Brady, pass incomplete. Tom Brady, pass complete, short to Rashad White, 3 yards for a touchdown. And then next drive, same thing. Pass, 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 pass. You know, the wacky stuff.
Steve, is that your Gene Deckerhoff impression over there, Isbit?
Not at all. There's only one Gene Deckerhoff. Thankfully, he's back for this season, Sage.
By the way, I'm going to tee up DeKemper on this one. Although I think Lee, in some respects, he's going to like what this guy did. But I think Lee's going to acknowledge my point. Did our guys, Rashad White, do yet another interview last week? With somebody, can somebody put a muzzle on this guy? Lee, this guy has done nothing in the National Football League.
I absolutely agree with you there. Fans get hacked off when I mention that, but I'm never going to tell a player to shut up. We're in the content business, Ira.
But you know my point, Lee. You know my point.
Yeah, he's getting too much run, but you know, Rich Eisen's not going to turn away a player that wants to talk to him. But I'm glad that White's talking. I'm never going to argue about a player talking. Never.
Steve, on a national level, on some of these shows, is Rashad White considered a hell of a get by the producer?
I think it's a case of Rashad White. First of all, he's done a great job marketing himself. Fantastic, because he does every interview, and people know he answers the phone, and that'll get you places in that business, for sure.
Yes.
And he's okay. I mean, he has some things to say. I wouldn't put him in the great interview category, but he's okay. You know, there he was with Rich Eisen again, and he's sitting there talking about how he's become a student of Buccaneers history. He's talking about Warrick Dunn and Mike Allstott, and he wants to be on that list. You know, he continues to talk about how the Bucs haven't had a 1,000-yard rusher since 2015, and he wants to break that, which just makes me want to punch another hole in the wall, Ira, because Ronald Jones had 980-something yards in 14 games, and they wouldn't let him get 1,000 because they asked him to block for Antonio Brown so he could get it money for legal fees. Plus, Rojo, of course, had another 150-something yards in the playoffs, so he went over 1,000 if you look at it that way. But, you know, I give Rashad White a lot of credit. He was talking about how he flew his trainer into Tampa, and he's been doing two-a-days. He rotates receiving day, running back day, and he's just all jacked up to be a star player, and he thinks he's going to do it. And you know what? Yet again, Ira, in that Canales podcast, he was very candid with candid language that Todd Bowles wants to run the football and have a run-first offense. And so White knows that, obviously. So maybe he's just going to will this thing to be true, and all of a sudden we'll have a 1,250-yard rusher and a guy who can catch, and who knows?
That's a great point, Steve, because Lee, we don't have to speculate anymore, although I think our speculation was right on when we talked about Bowles wanting more, quote, balance. Yes, Lee, I'm going to use the word balance. I know it turns your stomach. You're reaching for the Pepsi. I know that. But, Lee, it's right there. Canales said it. You know, he backed it up. All our thoughts about how I think Bowles was appalled at Brady throwing 43 passes a game. But to Steve's point, you know, that's on Bowles too. Lee, he's the head coach. And if he didn't like it, and he told Leftwich to change, Leftwich would have done what Bowles wanted. So it is what it is. What it was a hell of a bad offense.
Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Ira, get there. And all of our listeners who have damage to their home from a disaster, storm, flood, mold, fire, whatever it is, call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately and mention Ira Kaufman, mention Joe Bucks Fan. And if you end up needing their services after your free inspection and free evaluation, with all their great technology and their decades of experience working with insurance companies and handling disasters, if you need them and move forward with them, they're going to give you $500 back if you mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan when you call. And that's cash for your deductible or just cash back, which is fantastic. More cash, the better, Ira. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Learn all about them so when you have that disaster, you know what to do. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. I'm starting to think even more, Ira, that Bowles looked at the running game and just looked at his offensive line and just simply said, we're soft. We're soft. We need to retool this whole thing. We got to keep Jensen because he's a tough guy. But more important, and I'm not knocking Ryan Jensen, but the reality is he's under contract, guaranteed money, and he's old. And I think if he didn't have that guaranteed money, they would have gotten rid of him. And I think Bowles just thought the whole thing was just soft. And they like Gedeki's attitude, and they like what they saw in one game. And they think he'll make a leap second year. Bowles drafted the guy. You know, I think that's worth remembering that he was, you know, a Bowles pick. So, you know, we know what the offensive line looks like. They got some new guys, and I think it starts there. I think Bowles really just – all the evidence says Bowles thought they kind of were soft, and they tried to get tougher and didn't get a new running back, and they'll hope for the best.
I think there's a lot of truth in that. Lee, I don't want to get you to hang up, but I got to say this, you know, to be totally honest. Somebody mentioned Ronald Jones, a minute ago. Lee, there was a time when I thought Ronald Jones was going to be a very productive back in this league, and then he goes to Kansas City. Lee, he's, you know, the guy's nowhere. I mean, he's hanging by a thread. His NFL career, I thought Ronald Jones had some talent. Lee, I don't know what the hell went wrong.
I think it speaks to how good of a coach Arians is. I mean, if Andy Reid can't squeeze anything out of him, I think I've got to give a tip of the cap to Arians for getting something out of him.
Steve, didn't Jones go to training camp last year with every chance to be the Chiefs' number one back? Didn't he, Steve?
Sage, I think you're just being harsh, man. You are harsh. You're a tough guy, Ira Kaufman. Look, Pacheco won the job, and he proved to be better, and he's as hard-nosed runner as there is in the NFL. I can't knock Ronald Jones because some other guy is a 1,000-yard rusher and is just better than him and didn't get hurt.
I got to get this off my chest, Ira. These running backs that are whining, they're not getting paid. They're not respecting us. Go take a freaking econ class.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on it, Lee.
Eckler. I'm just really curious. I'm just going to throw this out there. Guys like Eckler, did they vote to ratify the CBA or not? If they did ratify the CBA, they have no business shooting their mouths off.
It's a data-driven league, and they look at the trends of running backs and how long they last and how long they're productive and the injuries that accrue at that particular position, and they made a decision. For the most part, they're not going to pay the big bucks to running backs. I don't think that's any cause for a discrimination suit. Steve, it's a football decision.
Yeah, and the biggest thing is you mentioned those other factors, Ira, and they're all completely legitimate. But the biggest factor, number one, is rookie running backs succeed.
Usually.
Every year, there's a sea of running backs that can get you 4.2 yards a carry. They're not all Dalvin Cook as rookies and stuff. But if you're too easily replaceable and you're at a position that's fragile or as far as injury goes, they're stuck. And that's what's going on right now. I mean, nobody has a lawsuit. It's just stupid. Yeah. We'll see.
Ira, when's the last time the Bucs had a rookie running back that made an impact? I'm thinking Doug Martin.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you had Cadillac, but that's 2005, Lee. You know, those first four games. Yeah, Doug Martin was sensational as a rookie. Then he had a couple of lousy years. He came back, I think, in 2015, Lee, and had a big year. And I just mentioned it. Contract year. And then never heard from him again. I think he had some personal issues.
I remember Duman talked about that on his radio show.
By the way, Lee, one of our readers, I don't know if you saw it, but he put something on Twitter, and it was directed towards you, Lee. And he said, now that Deshaun Jackson announced his retirement, and by the way, I'm not sure he has retired.
Not retired.
Oh, all right, because this guy said, well, now he's retired, and Lee can tell that Deshaun Jackson story to everybody.
No, I can't. Certain people involved that are still at their current jobs, and you know, I give my word. I would not reveal the information that I learned because that's how you build trust in this business. Now, I guess I could always go back to these guys and say, "Hey, you know, it's been X amount of years. Do you mind if I report that? You know, or just you know, let the cat out of the bag." I guess I could do that, but you know, I gave these guys my word. I said, as long as you're doing what you're doing, I don't want to get you in trouble and betray a source, a well-placed source, two of them, actually. And I'm not going to do that. That's chicken spit, as Dubik would say. So I'm not going to do that. And
yeah, Lee, if you remember, I asked one of the guys on that, one of the sources on that, point blank, at an NFL event in 2022, if we could share it. And he thought about it for a while, and he's like, no. I don't want that out there. And so, yeah. Hey, we gave it a shot. So we're still trying. There's still some time. Allow that to be revealed, that nice piece of Buccaneers history. It'll come. At some point, it'll come.
The guy you're referring to, I saw him once, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And I said, hey, man, you notice you haven't read about DeSean Jackson? And he stopped and he thought for a second. He goes, no, I haven't. I said, I promised you.
Sage, look, this team, the fans are going a little crazy with this quarterback competition. It's right in front of us now. But I ran a poll, Ira, to ask the fans, you know, who do you want to be the starting quarterback, you know, with this quarterback competition? And it was the exact same poll that I ran in April. And very simply stated, the numbers tell a story, but there's also, you wrote a column that touched on this, and that kind of tells a story as well. I know you got a lot of feedback on it, and it really kind of fits. So, Sage, back in April, 56% of Bucs fans said they wanted Baker Mayfield to be the opening day starter, 22.8 for Kyle Trask. This week, Mayfield got 63% of the vote, Trask got 26. Not a lot of change, but a little change. And of course, the people who voted for other or wanted a rookie starter, you know, that's gone now. They're sort of dialed in. So what do you make of that, Ira? And it's pretty clear Kyle Trask has a huge supporting section here. We'll call it a mob.
You know, I've been thinking about this competition, in quotes, Lee, in quotes. And Lee, you always make the great point. Who's going to make the call? Todd Bowles. And Todd Bowles deserves to make the call. He's the head coach. Mm-hmm. And Bowles is in a precarious position, Lee, as you stated many times. And you think he would go with the guy with experience, the guy who has had some success in the league, rather than a guy with 9 career pass attempts. And all that makes sense. And Lee, I've been thinking about this. This is why I think it's going to be very hard for Trask to win the job. If they didn't bring back Lavonte David, if they didn't, and they didn't give Dean that kind of money and some other things, if they didn't do that, Lee, then I think it would sort of give the impression that Trask has a lot better chance to get this job because, well, we're not going to say it, but we're not going to be that competitive this fall. And we'll see what we got in Trask, and if he falls on his ass, we'll draft a quarterback next year. But, Lee, that doesn't seem to be the case. Some people think they're still trying to read into it that the Bucs are throwing in the towel on this season. I don't see it that way, Lee. I don't see it that way.
I agree with you, Ira. If they didn't bring back Lavonte David, they didn't bring back Jamel Dean, and they didn't sign Mayfield, it's pretty clear at that point that they're playing for the draft, which I'll make an argument. If teams aren't playing for the Super Bowl, they better be playing for the draft. That's the way I look at it. I believe there's a real competition, but I just don't see where he's taking advantage of the opportunity to win that job. I think, personally, I think, like you mentioned, Bowles being in a position that he's in, he needs wins. The only way Trask is going to get that job, he can't play equal with Mayfield or practice equal. He's got to be head and shoulders better. Sort of like what Russell Wilson did with the Seahawks when he was drafted. The Seahawks gave Matt Flynn all kinds of cash, and he was going to be the starter. And Russell Wilson came in, and he practiced head and shoulders so much better, they couldn't take him off the field. And I think that's what Trask has to do, but he's not doing it. The best things I could say about Trask is that he throws a low ball over the middle, which is hard to pick off, and I saw him do an agility drill with footwork that blew me away. I didn't even recognize him. It was so good. And actually, it was so good, the Bucs put the video up on their website and on social media. And I was like, I've never seen a quarterback doing these foot drills. And I was like, who the hell's that? And I was like, oh, it's Trask. That's the most impressive thing I've seen about the guy. A freaking footwork drill.
You know, Steve, one point I want to make about that, I think this is fair to say, at least in my opinion, if Trask outplays Mayfield, and like Lee says, maybe by a considerable margin, and they still give the job to Mayfield.
Oh, yeah.
Steve, I don't think that goes over well with the rest of the team. I don't.
Agree.
That's something that they have to consider. That if this guy does win the job, you gotta reward him, Steve. Everybody's watching. And I think some guys on the team would be demoralized if they don't make it a fair competition.
I'm a little confused, Ira. Are you trying to say that Trask could outplay Mayfield and not get the job? Why would anybody do that?
Because I think Mayfield's starting from such an advantageous position. Lee, they're not starting at the same starting line, Lee. They're not.
So you're saying it's rigged. You're saying that he may be the better quarterback based on everything we see in August, and he won't get the job.
I didn't say he won't get the job. I said if he doesn't get the job. If he doesn't get the job under that scenario, I think that's a mistake. If he doesn't get the job, I'm not saying that'll happen. But if it does happen, you got a lot of other players that are watching this thing intently that are going to say, well, wait a minute. You said you're going to go with whoever does the best job, and now you're not. I'm not saying that's going to happen, Steve. I'm not. But I think that's something they got to be aware of. They got to live up to what they're saying. We're going with the guy that gives us the best chance to win. And if Trask outperforms him, Lee, I think you got to go with the kid.
I agree. I mean, if Trask earns it, sure. But thus far, I don't see it. I'm sorry. I just right. don't. But he's going to have a hell of a training camp and a hell of a controlled scrimmage up in New York, or Jersey, I should say, against the Jets. He's really going to have to, like balls out play. Because the Jets allegedly have a decent defense.
Yes.
Hey, Ira, let me run a little counter there to that. You know, you've talked on this podcast. You introduced the Tampa Bay area to the word investiture years ago when Austin Seferian Jackwagon was on the team. And, you know, investiture is real. You know, that players play and they're not necessarily better because of where they were drafted or how much they're being paid and that kind of stuff. So, you know, we see it all the time. So why would players revolt against that if it's at quarterback where it's inequitable? I mean, you could have training camp this year where Aaron Stinney comes out and you know what? He looks a lot better than Cody Mauch, but they still go with Mauch. So I don't know. I'm not sure I get that.
To me, I made this point several times, and I think it's true. If Trask doesn't pan out, Lee, if he's a 10-year guy as a backup and never wins a starting job, no Buck fan should hold that against Jason Light. That's not reasonable in terms of investiture. Late second round pick, every year, every damn year, a bunch of quarterbacks who are picked in the first couple of rounds don't pan out, Lee. It happens every year. And yeah. it's not like the Bucks traded up to the number 5 spot to get Kyle Trask. That's different. Nobody's going to hold this against Jason Light if it doesn't work out.
But we live in reality. And, you know, to be fair, the Bucks could have used a cornerback a hell of a lot more than a backup quarterback with that draft pick. And I, by the way, I was for that. I thought that was a very savvy move. I thought Trask, there might be something there with the guy. But so far, I haven't seen it. I don't know if Kyle Trask is any better than Ryan Griffin.
We will see, Lee. We will see. I can't make any definitive statements about Trask. And you're not trying to make definitive statements.
No, I hope for the kid's sake. And the Bucks, I mean, if this guy earns a starting job, that looks good for everybody. Looks good for Buck fans. Looks good for Bulls. Looks good for Jason Light. And I hope he does do that.
Yeah.
But I keep waiting.
Steve, one guy I'm going to be looking at is Shaq Barrett. And I want to see who's working with him, the trainers or whatever. What are they doing with him? And when's he going to be able to resume normal activities during training camp? Boy, they need an effective Shaq Barrett. You know, they really need it bad. They need it.
Based on other rehabs of guys with Achilles in that position, he should be ready to go. Now, they may ease him in, but he should be cleared 100% ready to go. Todd Bowles said back in June that he didn't expect anyone at all to not be ready for training camp. That included Shaq, but we'll find out. It is a big, big key. And hopefully he's just ready to go. I mean, it would be nice to see him get some of that work, first team work, and see what he really looks like. And it's best for the team just to be able to assess, because if he's not ready and if he's no good, it's much better to know that before the season starts than to start, you know, running him out there and wondering, well, maybe he needs a few more games to snap out of it, especially with what the Bucks have at that position. It would give him some time to make a move. You know, a lot of fans are looking at Joe Tryon-Shoyinka saying, hey, he's had 37 games and he still hasn't snapped out of it. But We'll see. We'll see, Sage. Hey, Bill Curry Ford, I'm looking on the website. I have 462 vehicles available. They have fantastic stock. That means, you know, you can get there, you can drive, you can touch it, you can feel it. Like Ira, he's still old school. He wants a hug from the salesman. He wants to be walked over. But even if you don't want to do that, they have pickup and delivery service available for sales and service. So you can sit at home and get your oil changed, whatever it is. BillCurryFord.com. Our thanks to Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast, and Florida's ElitRestoration.com. Get there, bookmark it, put it in your phone. When disaster strikes, you'll know who to call. Florida's ElitRestoration.com. Ira, still plenty of tickets left for opening day at $144 a pop, all areas of the stadium. Those are the cheap seats for the day. Does this surprise you, Ira? Bears fans who usually travel very well and like to head to Florida to, get on the beach for the weekend and see some Bears games. Exciting quarterback there, and they've got a lot of young talent. Not going to be a very good team, probably, but does this surprise you, Ira?
It does, because it's Chicago. And Lee, the three of us have gone to Ray J many, many times with the Bears coming to town, and they travel. Green Bay travels. Chicago travels. A lot of teams don't. And that's the part that gets me. People from the Windy City, little trip to Florida for the weekend, little beach action on Saturday, go see your Bears. That surprises me, and I don't know. It doesn't sound like it bodes very well for the rest of the season, Lee, unless they get off to a good start.
Steve, you remember a guy by the name of Fritz that ran circulation in the St. Pete Bureau of the Tribune?
I do, yeah.
Well, Fritz had a cottage industry that got blown up, I think, right when Chucky first started coaching. When they redid the divisions, when the Bucs played in the NFC Central, he had a boatload of season tickets. He never had a problem unloading Bears tickets, Packers tickets, Vikings tickets, even to a degree Lions tickets. Because what I was talking about, those fans travel. They come down to Florida. Obviously, it's still somewhat warm in the upper Midwest in September, but he said he never had problems unloading those tickets. And when they developed the NFC South and flipped the divisions on the Bucks, he had to eat a lot of money, eat a lot of tickets. He couldn't get rid of them.
Well, Sage, still not sold out for Monday Night Football against the Eagles a couple of weeks later. Now, of course, the price gouging is in full effect for those tickets from the Bucks, $240-something for the cheap seats, but still available. And same argument there, I guess. They're probably just pricing it a little too high, even for people who want to travel in. But we'll see. We'll see.
I might be surprised if that game doesn't sell out. I'd be surprised. That's a glamour game.
It's going to sell out, Ira, because the Bucks are going to be freaking 2-0 after they take it to Minnesota and come home and beat the Bears. That's why.
Beautiful, Steve. Beautiful. And we're all of us are going to be out to training camp. Lee, when the fans start rolling in on the weekend, I encourage them to say hello. Unlike a lot of our media brethren who wouldn't be caught dead talking to a Bucks supporter, we embrace our readers and our listeners.
Yeah, without listeners and readers, we got nothing.
Yeah, and speaking of those embraces, Ira, bring a couple of changes of your shirt, okay? It's mandatory.
The white towel is getting washed as we speak.
All right, Sage. Look, I've got a whole list, Ira, and I'm not going to send it to you in advance, a whole list of questions regarding training camp and predictions. We usually do the predictions before the season starts, but I've got a handful of them for you now, and I think they're important. We'll have some fun with that.
I haven't graded out very well on those predictions, Steve. I'll try to do better.